Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. We're glad you're here today as our pastor shares a word specially for our partners. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
The Holy Spirit may be moving through me to give you this word, but it's your word for today. What makes it your word? When God quickens something out of these scriptures, out of these 66 books, out of these hundreds and hundreds of verses, He quickens something. He lifts it out just for you. That's what prophetic is. It's one color out of the rainbow. It's one note out of the music scale. It's one vow out of this series of letters. And it's one thought that we want to get to you today that I'm praying and I'm believing is just going to let you rise above the fray of everything that you're dealing with. As I was preparing for this broadcast today, I thought to myself, what a day, what a time we're in. These times of uncertainty for many, but don't have to be uncertain for the believer. Because you can know that irregardless of what's happening on the outside, and even what's happening sometimes on the inside, we are people of great purpose. We are people where God has a plan, and He has us each on a prophetic path. And today I want to add to that. I want to just put some more steps onto that path for you. Because today's word for you is, sometimes you got to go through it to get to it. Sometimes you got to go through it to get to it. And I have a couple of verses I want to read for you. Here it's going to be right up on our screen. Psalm 34, verse 17 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." So here we see the writer to this psalm, which we believe to be David. And he's saying that, you know, the righteous have a lot of challenges, but God delivers them out of them all. And then let's go back a few chapters to Psalm 23. And here again, this is the same writer in verse number 4. And he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now here, the same writer that wrote Psalm 34, writing Psalm 23, and yet it's a little different spin. Here he's saying, "Yea, though I walk through." In other words, throughout life, and many times in your life and all of our lives, there's sometimes God's just going to bring you out of something, and it's just going to be suddenly and quickly and smoothly and seamlessly. And then there's other times where we're going to go through some stuff. And that's where the challenges are. You know, today there's many, I mean, how many are going through something today with all of this that's going on in politics and government and medicine, with the scientists and the experts, and of course we have, you know, the prophets, and we have all these voices that are speaking into our life, and we're watching what's happening in the earth. Many people, and I'm sure I'm speaking to many of you, you're going through something. Everybody's going through something. You know, and today I want to talk about, why do we go through these events? What is it? What's the redemptive value? What purpose would God have for us to be going through something? Is He aware of everything that we go through? And why? Why does He let this happen? Why are we going through these challenges, these testings, and these trials? And why more than one at one time? There's many of you right now that you are really at the brink of, well, you don't know what. You're doing your best to stand in faith, and you're doing all you know how to do to get a hold of God, and you're standing, and you're doing it all. And yet you're still in this process of going through something, wondering, when is this ever going to end? When am I going to get through on the other side? And I know it when I do get through it on the other side. Well, I know when this ends and when the new season begins. And I'm telling you today, yes, you will. And I'm telling you today that by the time we're done with what God has laid out for you, I believe you're going to have a better grasp as to why you're going through what you're going through. I mean, we can always say, well, the devil this and the world that, and, you know, and maybe a little bit of disobedience in there. We can always give some rhyme or reason. But let me tell you something. There's way more value into what you're going through right now than what you may ever realize. Let's begin this journey together. So why would God let you, why would God let Billy Burke, because he has many, many times, go through this? People are going through legal battles. People are going through family battles. People are going through health issues. People are going through internal challenges of rejection and fear and racial tension. I mean, everybody, there's so many. And please forgive me, if I include you in one of these going through and you say not me, then okay, then I'm happy for you. But for the rest of us that are going through something today, you know, there's got to be something bigger than just surviving it. God hasn't called you and I to just be survivors. He's called us to be overcomers. And no, and that's a whole different meaning between being an overcomer of something and just surviving something. Remember, if surviving is one floor above dead. I said it's one floor above dead. And if God don't want you to be dead at this moment, then he wants you not just to be one floor above it. Because you can smell the death, look dead, talk dead, act dead. And he wants you to be what? Way above dead and way above surviving. He wants you to be overcoming. What did it say about the Hebrew children when they came out of that furnace? Didn't even smell like smoke. There was no trace of where they just came from. God wants to remove the trail of blood, the trail of heartache, the trail of rejection, the trail of whatever you've just been through. Tremendous cancer treatments that can really just take the life right out of you. 3 times a week, daily dialysis treatments. There's so many people today going through so much. There's so many people addicted to, you know, the substance abuse. People today addicted to, you know, prescription medication, self-medicating, on and on and on. And they're sitting in great meetings and they're singing great songs, you know, and they're just wondering, when is mine just going to disappear? Well, here's what I want to say. Point number one is this. Why would God let you go through something, well, that you don't really enjoy going through? Number one is because he wants you, look at the screen right here, he wants you to use your faith and not just your willpower. See, going through something, it's one thing to have faith, it's another thing to have your faith operational. It's one thing to have knowledge of something. We all have a lot of knowledge of a lot of issues. We have knowledge of this and knowledge of that, but we don't always exercise that knowledge. We don't make it operational. God lets you go through something so that your faith becomes activated. Yeah, so your faith becomes that. So you just don't, I'm gonna get through this. I'll make it. I can do this. Well, all we hear is I and I and I. I want you to read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 33 and 34. Hebrews chapter 11, if you turn with me there in your Bible, today, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 33 and 34. It says this, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteously and righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the escape, the edge of the sword, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. So we see that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, this great chapter of faith, it just talks about all of these great Bible characters and patriarchs who by faith did so many exploits and so many things. And God wants your faith that he's put in you, that's a growing faith. He wants it to be and say, well, I don't know the difference between faith and willpower. People that don't even know God, people that aren't even born again, people that don't have a recreated spirit. I mean, they take vitamins. They say, I'm going to make it. They say, I'm not going to die. So what's the difference with people of faith? We bring the name of Jesus in. We bring the blood of Jesus in. We bring these scriptures in. We bring past experiences of where God's been faithful in. It's whenever you bring in this spiritual, war chest, the name, the blood, the word. It's whenever you begin to use those, now you're using faith. Because you're talking about something bigger than you. You're talking a language that is used more than just the average person out on the street who says, well, I'll get through this. We Joneses are tough people. We Smiths are really powerful. My dad's been through something. My grandfather went through this. That's all wonderful. We're thrilled about the family name and all the people you know. But whenever you're using your faith, it's adding that name, Jesus, that work on the cross, the blood. It's using the scriptures where it's already settled in the heavens. You can do this. This is doable. Everything we're going to talk about on the broadcast today is doable. It's creating not a good habit, but a godly habit. It's not a good goal, but it's a God goal. To begin to change thinking and the way you're approaching what you're in. So you're not just waiting for something to be over. I can't wait till I'm done with these treatments. It's possible that if you begin to change the way you're approaching that treatment, it could be abbreviated. That's right, it could be shortened. How many trials were shortened? How many things were abbreviated? Because God's people began to sing a song, speak a word. Touch the hem, get in the shadow. These are available to you today. It says when you've done all, then make a stand. But the reason, the main reason, or one of these main reasons that we go through things is God just wants us to go beyond enduring, beyond waiting till it's over. You know, the difference with an old farm rooster is they cover their head with their wings in a storm, just waiting for the storm to be over. But an eagle flies above that storm. And God wants you to mount up with wings as an eagle and take the flight at heights you never dreamed you could before. Right now, even while you're in that, if you can't do it in your body, you can do it in your imagination. You can do it with your words. You can begin to really navigate your way out of troubled waters just with the tip of your tongue. Yes, yes, you can. And we're going to show you exactly how to do that. Another great reason is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. And if you turn there with me, this is an amazing scripture right here as to why we are permitted, why we're allowed to go through some things. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "Who comforteth us in all of our tribulation." Why? So that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. You see this right here? Come on, look at this, people. Please look at this. What's it saying? That one of the reasons that we're permitted to go through a lot of the stuff we go through is to learn to identify with other people. Oh, so that nobody feels they're alone. At least nobody in your company. I mean, everybody is going through something. That's what binds us together, is a common Savior, a common enemy, the devil, common Savior, Jesus, common enemy, the devil, but what? Common challenges of life. What did the Bible say about Elijah? He's a man of like passion. That's right. Was he a mighty man? Was he a phenomenal prophet? Did he do great exploits? All of that. Yes, 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 a million times yes. But at the same time, he was a man under the anointing. He was a regular man. And he experienced some great sorrow. He experienced some great acts of depression, even suicidal. He said, "Lord, take my life." These are people that we can relate to. And when you can identify with somebody, it takes that guilty feeling away from you. It takes that I'm less than. I'm a second-class believer. No such thing as a second-class believer. But it's important that when you're experiencing something and you're going through something, It should really help you identify with so many other people. Maybe not right away, but at some point in your life, God will prophetically put somebody in your path that's where you used to be. And you're going to be able to what? Judge them? No. Criticize them? No. Think they're not that great? Never. Why? Because you've been through it. You're sensitized. You know, it humbles you. If you're willing to share, hey, let me tell you about what I went through. Let me tell you how I handled chemotherapy. Because today, the thing that people lack is someone identifying with them. It's great to give people verses. It's great to, you know, assure them of God's faithfulness and God's power. It's great to give them healing scriptures and deliverance scriptures. But let me tell you something else, is whenever you can say, let me tell you, I was where you are. And I was given up to die. They said I would only live a certain amount of time. They said that, you know, this is never going to happen. They were going to repossess my house and my car and all my pets. I mean, whatever. And let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you the prayers that were answered. Let me tell you the prophecies that I got during that time. See, giving people all of the spiritual advice and the armor of God is wonderful. But whenever you can say, you know what, been there, done that, was hopeless like where you are. But let me tell you what God did. He answered a prayer. He fulfilled a prophecy. He sent a good Samaritan. He did something for me, and I know he's going to do that for you. You know, you get the feeling that somebody cares. If you haven't been through some stuff, then it's hard to really understand the cry of the needy, the drug addict, the alcoholic, the pole dancer, you know, the person that has needles in them from experimental drugs, those that are homeless, those that are pitching tents all over California. They can't even control the number of people up and down the beaches and down some of the main arteries in the cities where they have nowhere to go. These are perilous times. These are times of uncertainty. These are times when many have lost their jobs, their identity, their self-respect, their dignity. The devil's a thief. Yeah, he wants to destroy you and kill you, but first it says what? He cometh not but to what? But to steal. His first mode of operation is to steal from you anything he can. And one of the greatest things he can steal from anybody is self-worth, is value, is knowing the prize that you are. You know, God says we're the apple of his eye and we're the treasure of his field. But boy, when you're going through something, you don't think of that. Remember that. Remember when you've come through whatever you've come through. And remember how good God was to you, how faithful. Remember how fearful you were at one time, how uncertain at one time, whether it's with the virus or the vaccine or just the fear of it, just the uncertainty of it all. Just remember those days. And that's why bitter herbs, that's why they ate the bitter herbs coming out of Egypt, is God didn't want them to forget completely all that they went through. Why? So they could relate to others. Because if God was faithful for you, he'll be faithful for the people connected to you. Oh, I'll tell you what, this will make you a prisoner of hope. And Zechariah talks about this will make you a prisoner of hope. That what you're going through right now isn't in vain. God has something in mind for you. Yes, so that you can begin to use your faith in a more consistent way. So you can relate to others that are going through similar, and they're ashamed. They quit church. They don't give their testimony. They feel second class. And then God brings you into their life that says, hey, let me tell you, I went through the same thing. And man, he did it for me, and he'll do it for you. There's an old hymn I love. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he's going to do for you. And the third point that I have down here is in Mark chapter 2. If you turn there with me, Mark chapter 2, verse 9. I really like this verse. I just love everything about these verses. Mark chapter 2, verse number 9. And here's what it says. It says, Whether is it easier to say, the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? I love verse 10. But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins. One of the reasons God lets you go through some things is so you have a testimony that God heals, God delivers, God saves, God restores. How are you going to know any of those things? He says here, that you may know. See, God wants some people to know. Some people to know that may never grace the doors of a church, that may never open up any form, any translation of a Bible. But there you are, and you have a story to tell. And that story to tell is, I was sick and I got healed. I was in so much bondage and I got delivered. I have wasted so many years of my life, and God is restoring those years. I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, there is redemption right now working overtime in what you're going through. Don't just hold on. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Praise Him. Begin to say to yourself, I wonder how God's going to use this, not just to encourage me and my children and my family, but whosoever I come across, how is God going to take care of this and help other people? One of the things that a lot of people come to the altar for in our crusades, besides wanting healed, I want to know Jesus more. I want to get closer to God. I want to. And there's a scripture in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. It's the Apostle Paul. This was near the end of his life. He's a prisoner in Rome. And he says that I may know him. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And he said something here that I just want to use it as a trigger or a launching pad into why you and I go through some things. It's an opportunity. Instead of thinking, boy, this is how I feel, this is what I'm going through, instead of just saying, you know what, now I know what Jesus felt. So whenever you're rejected, say, yeah. So our tendency to say, boy, I'm rejected. I got to get past this rejection. The Apostle Paul was saying, I fellowship with that. Not that he did it, not that he went through it, but he related everything as to what Jesus must have felt, what he felt. This is what the Lord felt. He felt rejected. He felt despised. He felt like he wasn't good enough. They called his mother this and they called him that. And instead of relating everything to you, you relate it to what he must have felt. And I want to tell you something. You get a download of Jesus. You get a reality of Jesus that you can't have any other way. It works the cross right into your life. It makes Calvary being deposited on the inside of you. So instead of you taking everything so personal, I was this, and he did that, and all of your life, it just follows you everywhere that you go, that this man did this to you, and that job did that to you. But listen to me, but if you say, you know what, Lord, yeah, that happened, but I relate, I must have wondered as I went through this, what you must have felt like when they cast you out. When it says, you came unto your own, and your own knew you not. I understand more now about you. See, the more you understand about somebody, the closer to that person you become. God wants to use anything you're going through at the moment, not just to get you through it, and not to get you to wear the scars of it or smell the bad smoke of it, but he wants you to overcome it. In so much that not only overcoming that, but it gets you closer to the master, to understanding all that he went through. And when that happens, that treasure gets put on the inside of you. And then every time, every word with that treasure, everybody Billy Burke forgives, God makes a deposit. Every time I worship him, God makes a deposit. Every time I, do something, for the needy or the homeless, there's a deposit. And pretty soon there's a treasure on the inside that is so rich, so pure, so powerful that we begin to speak out of that treasure. Today, as you are going through this, just know this. God has an end. God has a expiration date. But that's not just so that that's over. It's so that you've overcome it. It's not in you. It's not going to occupy your thinking. It's not going to occupy your speech. And you're not going to smell like that which you've come through. It's going to be over. It's going to be sealed. And you're going to become a better person, closer to the Master, and more relatable to those that have yet to get through what they're fighting. That's your word for today.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word HEALED. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.